yo, we're never gonna get old. Life's too short, trying to get involved. My girls, they're trying to get involved. Sex tape, get your story sold. And we don't do what we're told. It's my life, watch me take control. Consume to your ego's hole. But feed your wallet, but starve your soul. Oh, yeah. Said I'm comfortable if it comes to me, cause my youth constantly trade hard work for luxury. Destiny's your own creation, in my mind has motivation. But you ain't no obligation, but I don't wanna have that reputation. Yes, and I don't wanna have that reputation.
All right, this is the Soul Savvy Show with EB and Q Lynn Green. EB, Q Lynn, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
We're good.
All right. Hey, ready to get this party started. Last week, oh my goodness. I don't know whether you're going to revisit last week, but that was hilarious.
Well, yeah, we were. When we get into the Savvy updates, we got a lot of. I hear some feedback in the background. Whoever is turning it down a little bit. I can't hear. Okay. Somebody's getting feedback. Yeah, we're going to get into that when we get Savvy updates, but we got some special guests coming on, and I was going to let EB take over this portion and introduce our guest that's on.
Yeah, so the first guest is actually I'm going to call this man a friend of mine, somebody that I came across on Twitter and Instagram, and who's doing some big things in the city of brotherly love down in Philadelphia. Mr. Yvonne Burton of the Anderson Street Project.
Hi, how's it going? It's Evan. How's it going?
Evan, I'm sorry. I'm calling. See, I'm messing your name up. Evan.
It is okay. It is okay. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm good. It's Friday. I'm out and about. We're having it's been a long week, and I'm celebrating. So I'm just glad that I made it through.
That's right.
That's what's up.
Yeah. So I wanted you to talk a little bit about not only about the Anderson Street Project, but the music scene in Philadelphia and why you decided to start the project. What brought that about for you?
So the Anderson Street Project started a little over 2 years ago, and it started because, you know, I'm an avid concert goer, so I'm always out and about at a show. I'm always on top of things musically, and I would on Instagram, I would post, you know, that I was at a show, and people would be so upset that they didn't find out about it. So something clicked, and, you know, and I'm like, maybe this is a thing. Maybe I could start a site that promotes black shows as they come into town. And so that was really the genesis of the project. So right now we have a website, and then we're highly active on Instagram, and we mainly just post concerts as they're announced and do daily rundowns of things happening in the city. And, you know, it's taken off. And, you know, I think it's become part of the fabric of of young black Philadelphia, which is something that I never, ever, ever thought it could be.
Wow. I mean, that's impressive. I mean, just because, like you, I'm, you know, a concert goer, and we know Q Lynn is a concert goer. She be out with the aunties and uncles sipping on their Hennessy and stuff. They
oh, yeah.
Movies, but,
yep. Yep.
Like, out of the concerts you've been to in Philly, I know recently I've seen you started doing this or going to this concert series that Kindred, I think, actually puts on in Philly, right?
Yes, most definitely. So Kindred the Family Soul, they started, it's actually usually weekly, but they've invited all of their friends within the R&B genre to come. They sit down for an interview, and then they perform a couple of their largest hits. And they've brought in anybody from Tony Terry to Bilal to, you know, they've had, this past week they had Cassie Sledge and Melissa Morgan. So they really are bringing in some of the biggest heavy hitters that the genre has ever encountered for some once in a lifetime talk and some performances. And it's truly one of my favorite event series. You get to not only hear some interesting stories, but you get to actually talk to the celebrities as they come into town. So it's a really good series. I'm so glad that Asia and Fatine came through with us.
Nice. Q-Lynn, you have any questions for Evan?
Oh, I was going to ask, you have so many different titles. I was going to ask, what was your background related to music? Like, how did you get introduced to I know you're in PR work.
So my day job, I'm in public relations, and but you know, in college, you know, I had a very tough blossoming experience. So when I was in college, 17 18 19 20, when I was, you know, too afraid to socialize and to be myself, I really found comfort in music. So I would study music. Like, I would listen to Amel LaRue every day. Like, I would listen to Guapole's Closer for Empowerment. I would listen to Jill Scott's first album on repeat. And, you know, and I didn't discover Jill Scott, of course, in college. But, you know, I would find comfort in a lot of different artists. Like, Inner Visions was an album that I encountered in college for the first time. And, you know, that's what really, it's somewhat dramatic, but I think that's what saved my life. My love for music, the music that boosted my confidence, that made me think of myself in a higher place. And I think I've come to find that other people relate to music in that way too. Like, music is a part, as black people, is a part of our moral fabric. It's that thing that it's hard to define. It's something that's in our being. Like, when we hear drums and we hear lyrics that cut to my soul. And I think, Eric, what you do with your site is amazing, you know, talking about the songs and, you know, unknown facts about those songs that we know to love. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what's so important. And I hope through our project, through the Anderson Street Project, people can really start loving and appreciating music, like, you know, again.
Right.
So with that, you saying that being a part of you and music really helping you, I guess, sort of kind of fit in, I guess, in the music scene, or just to get that anxiety away, I wanted to ask, in terms of, like, musically, the stuff that you take childhood, do you look for those things in live performances? Since you're a big fan, do you look for the things you would look for, like, in a record, like, what EB did? I do that stuff on my site as well. I like talking. I come from a musician perspective, so I try to talk about what the rhythm section is doing. Like, that's why I love soul R&B, because that's what I love, artists that have the live instrumentation on records, because, you know, the style changes so much. They got this trap soul crap or whatever. It's non-musical to me, if you ask me. But I like listening to soul records with live instrumentation, so I look for those things. What is it that you took from childhood that you listen to when you go to these live shows?
That's a very interesting question, mainly because I take my love. I have a very wide array of taste. So, for example, mm-hmm. like if I go to a Beyonce show, like I need to see her buck down, you know what I mean?
Right.
With 20
right.
dancers and a big blonde weave. Like I need to see that. Like if I go yeah. to a Janet Jackson show, I need to see some of the sensuality, some of the empowerment that's in her music. Like it depends. Like for example, like when I see Jill Scott, I love seeing her relationship with her band and how mm-hmm. how yeah. the drummer hits the snare. So it really yeah. depends. I think what's great about black music that people bring different things to the table, you know what I mean? So it's hard to say that I look for one particular thing. I look for a lot.
Right. You know, it's crazy you said that about the drummer, because that's actually her MD is a drummer. So the fact you...
Yes.
You could point that out. You have like a great ear, because most people wouldn't even figure that out. Look, her MD
yeah.
is her drummer. So yeah, because both our songs are like part of the rhythm section or whatever. So she like enhances that during the live performances. But I think I have like two more questions, and then we're gonna play the
sure.
game after we do the Savvy update. I was gonna ask. We talked about your musical taste. Give me like a span of genres that you listen to.
Oh wow. So I was, my first album that I ever loved and appreciated was Rhythm Nation. So, you know, Janet Jackson, is a big, big, big piece of my life. But then when TRL came about, like I was big into the pop scene. So like if you were on TRL, I knew about you. So like I was, I was an official member of the Christina Aguilera fan club back in the day. But then also at the same time, and I know Eric, I know you hate Christina, so we're not going to go there. you're listening to Sour Water on it. You know, I love Sour Water. Some of the albums. I love Destiny's
right,
Child.
Right, right.
I'm a big I'm a big Timbaland aficionado. So, you know, I like rock. There's some rock songs that I really love and appreciate because they have that grit. Like I really related to the anger of Linkin Park, like a lot of emotionally disturbed kids did back in the late 90s, early 2000s. So yeah, just a few different, of course, you know, I'm from Philly, so hip hop will influence everything that I do. You know, from State Property, Freeway, who's still out and about, Chris
right.
and me for still here as well. So, yeah.
And then this is my last one, and I guess we could let you go after that and play the game. What's wrong with you, game? I was going to ask, who is it from the Philly scene do you think we should be looking for that you think is emerging that could get some kind of commercial success? Or do you see that in the just anywhere you go to a live venue? Who do you think is going to emerge from the Philly scene?
Yes, there's two people who come to mind when you ask that question. One, there's this fabulous jazz singer by the name of Lauren Talese. Lauren Talese is signed to Adam Blackstone's label, and her mm-hmm. album is phenomenal. Her voice is so beautiful and rich, and it's such an R&B quality and an R&B and rhythm and blues perspective to jazz that I find quite refreshing. She also was a noted background singer. She toured with Bilal, Vivian Green. She was on the Grammys a couple times singing behind people. So she has the chops. And then there's also a band called Killiam Shakespeare. They're also affiliated with Adam Blackstone as well. They're actually a combination of touring musicians. So they've toured with Jill Scott. They've also performed at various award shows as well. Done gobs and gobs of world tours for other artists, but their sound is so utterly unique. Steve McKee, who's a noted producer, is behind that group, and Corey Bernard, who's the keyboardist. Those are the two main players of that band. So those are the two acts I would say you should definitely be looking out for.
I know. I'm gonna look them up. I'm gonna look up their music, see if they got anything on Spotify. We don't play this game, What's Wrong With You game. It's pretty much, it's sort of, it's a music catalog. It's not, it's an either or game. It's not necessarily vocal comparisons. It's just who has the best music catalog. So if I was going to play this game, real quick and, so you can go on about, whatever you have going on, any endeavors. So we're going to start this off, what's wrong with you game? The first one is Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass.
Ooh. See, I would side with, like, I like Marvin's albums more than Teddy, and don't tell anybody from Philadelphia that I ever said that. So I'm gonna side with Marvin, because Marvin.
There you go.
What's going, yeah.
You're talking right. You don't have to explain no further to me. This is completely my judgment, so you don't have to go any further. So nothing's wrong with you on that one. Okay, the next one, The Whispers or OJ's.
So I'm going to say the OJs, mainly because, like, my aunt was, like, their biggest fan. And the Black History fact of the day is Walter Scott is actually the father of, like, one of my closest friends. So, and somebody's okay. going to tell him. So I'm going to pick the OJs.
That one's a bonus. Some of these are trick questions. I say on the show all the time. I make up the rules as I go. So that one was a bonus. So either or. You could have got it right. It didn't matter on that one.
Okay,
the next one, this one, now we're getting a little bit harder into it. Now these are not trick questions right here. Okay, this one might be, Prince or Rick James?
Oh, I'm gonna go with Prince.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. There you go.
There we go. That's another trick one. That's a bomb. What was that weird that just said boom? Really?
Yeah, you know. Was.
I thought I hit the mute button a minute ago. I don't know what happened. I don't know why he's chiming in. But we're going to move on.
I didn't.
That was a trick. Oh, okay. Well, we're going to hit that very soon. Okay. The next one, now we're starting to cook here. Now, these are either or right here. Okay, this is specific to Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Thriller or Off the Wall?
Off the Wall, hands down.
There you go. You talking right? Nothing's wrong with you on that one. You're talking right. The next one, this one's causing a big debate in the Black community. We're going to go with Miss Patty or Miss Aretha.
Oh, Aretha Franklin, hands down.
Oh,
and again, don't tell anybody
here
from
we
Philly.
Go. There we go.
Here we go. Okay, EB's probably the only one that was excited about that one. You're going to get a what's wrong with you on that one? You got one. Because it's Patty all day over here.
Nah,
I'm just saying.
Hey, Patty didn't write and produce some songs, so
okay.
I got to go with Aretha.
There we go.
Okay. All right. You got what's wrong with you on that one? Because that one.
All right.
Okay, the next one, we're going to go with Brian McKnight or Babyface.
Brian McKnight, definitely.
What?
Yeah.
You're going with Brian McKnight? Music catalog wise?
Oh, you know, and it's not all about the. I've seen this man, because, you know, we have in Philly called this series called the Dell Music Series, where it's in North Philly and people buy tickets. It's out in an outside venue. And I saw this man sing a run and then go back and dissect it note by note. And it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. So, and if he comes up in any conversation, I feel compelled to defend him at all costs. So, both
yeah,
Brian McKnight.
If we talk about vocal comparisons, I might give you something on that. But we talk about music catalog. We got to go with music catalog. Which one are you going with? You going Brian McKnight or Babyface?
Like,
no, it's not.
It's
no vocal comparison.
Because if I was like, if there was a fan club for Brian McKnight, I'd join it. So, yeah, that's
no.
It.
Music catalog, really? You gonna go with Babyface?
I'm gonna stick to Brian McKnight.
Okay, you got it. What's wrong? Okay, we usually have, okay, in these types of situations, I could get sustained in the court of Soul Savage Radio. I'll let my co-host be the deciding factor. He is the deciding factor, so I'm gonna say, something's wrong with you. But we'll let my co-host, he can sustain me. So what do you think, EB? Is it something wrong with him or not?
I don't think there's anything wrong with him. He chose Aretha over Patty, so he's official.
That's why. That's the main reason why he gave it to him, because he picked that.
He also chose Prince.
Okay, all right. Okay.
This game is rigged.
Okay. That's not rigged, Will. I'm about to mute you. That's what's about to happen. The producer's about to get muted on the show. That's what's about to happen. But, okay, EB is concluded. There's nothing wrong with Evan. Is that how you pronounce it? Or am I saying it wrong? Evan. Okay. There's nothing wrong with Evan. He won the game. There's nothing wrong with Thank you for so much for coming on. I wish you could stay on the whole show. We got to get you back on, talk some more music. We got to get you on back on another show.
Wait, before you go, Evan, just real quick, I want you to plug your Who Rocks the Party on.
Yeah, so this Tuesday, I'm filming an event for the Fringe Festival. It's Philadelphia's largest arts festival, and I assembled literally the best DJs who have come from the city of brotherly love, from King Britt, who a lot of people know as one of the most well-regarded house DJs in the city, Diamond Cuts, who has toured with Nicki Minaj, but then also younger DJs such as Matthew Law. We have Dave Tom, who's the reigning king, Q-Scene, and then we also have Lee Jones, who's done some phenomenal work here in the city as well. So it's a totally free event. It's taking place at South Kitchen and Jazz from 5:30 to 7:30. So if you're in the area, please stop by. I have only a few tickets left. I've technically sold out twice, but I'm having a YOLO moment. So I'm pushing the boundaries as much as I can in terms of seating capacity. So if you're in the area, please go to our website, AndersonStreetProject.com, and reserve your slot.
That's what's up. And where can they find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at AndersonSTPHL. I'm on Twitter also at AndersonSTPHL too.
Wow, I got to follow you. I'm going to follow you right now on Twitter. I got to pull this up on there.
I'm going to lie. Follow you on Instagram's like my big social media push, my big social media platform. Because, listen, I am a one-man shop. So...
Oh, man. I'm going to follow you on there, too, on Instagram and Twitter. Instagram, I feel it's like putting cool kids, just a bunch of cool people on there.
It's great for me because, you know, it's the easiest way to let someone know that a show was coming. So I can
flyer,
but then also talk about music at the same time. So, you got to go. You got to follow the market, and the market is saying Instagram works for me. So I'm going to roll
cool.
with it.
Yeah, I'm going to support anything I can do to support. I'm going to follow you on there, and anything you promote, I'm going to promote it as well on my page. So thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Evan.
Thank you so much for coming on.
All right.
What we going to do right now, I guess we can take a break real quick and get into Savvy Updates after we go to break. Get this Kendrick the Family Soul. I knew somebody from Philly was coming on, so I was like, let me play some Kendrick real quick. Get the vibes right. So if Will's ready, we can go to break, and we go to Savvy Updates right after the song.
Won't let doubt take the lead, no. We've got to stay the course because we know the score. Feel like I can fly with my arms open wide. Destination love, the kind we're dreaming of. And we won't lose the chance to feel it, though. We're going on. Carried diamond ring, all the rays from the sun in the sky that heat up everything. Perfectly imperfect we are. Together we made it this far.
nothing keep us from it, no. We got to walk and stride, cause we know the vibe. Forever's a mighty long time, keep my feelings in mind. Love keeping the depths of my soul, need you to have and to hold. Always be the one right there.
Welcome back. This is the Soul Savvy Show with EB and Q Lynn Green.
That's my joint right there.
I love that song.
I told Fatin, I told him, I was like, the only thing that's not perfect about that song is that it's not long enough. Like, I needed that shit to be like 4 minutes long or something. It's only like two minutes. It's almost 3 minutes long. I'm like, that joint bumps. And it's straight like Philly, Chicago instrumentation. I was like, yo, Fatin, you need to make that, like, y'all should have made that longer. But that's my joint right there. That's my favorite song from that album. Cause it just bumps. Your favorite phrase, I turn it all the way up in the car.
Turn this up.
And you ain't real if you'll listen to it at least 4 or 5 times. When I first heard that album, Legacy of Love, I repeated that song like 5 times. You ain't real if you'll listen to it at least 5 times in the car. Cause it bumps.
Right.
But yeah, you can go ahead. I know we got another special guest on. You can take it away.
Hey, so we are now joined by the whip queen herself, Miss Julie McShay. Julie!
Hey, I'm here. I just got finished.
Hey! Greetings.
Greetings from Texas.
Yep. You're from Texas too?
No, I'm from Florida, but I live in Houston.
Okay, yes. I was about to say, I'm in Dallas in the moment until later on, but yes. We'll get to that later, but yes. Go ahead.
No, Julie, so you, I don't even think you know this, but you have been extremely instrumental in what I'm doing now in terms of, you know, everything with my website, even me being on Soul Savviness and working with Q Lynn. Like, you might not even remember this, but a while ago, years ago on Twitter, you actually gave me these really comforting words and encouragement about what my future in music would hold, and I believe you said something about me writing a book one day.
Yes, and I do remember that.
When you said that, like, at the time, I didn't fully realize, you know, that was the path that I was supposed to be on. But I took that, and I'm running with it. And I never said this to you, but thank you. Thank you so much.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That filled me because it's been a rough couple of 2 weeks here, and so I need to hear good, positive stuff to just keep me rejuvenated and uplifted. So I'm happy to hear that. You know, that seed that I planted or shared with you that, you know, it's coming to fruition. That makes my heart smile. So thank you for sharing that.
No, thank you. Beautiful.
That's beautiful. You know, I'm a Cancer, so, you know, I get emotional, you know. I can't have to
cry. We don't want you to cry. Not yet. Q-N.
Yeah, I was going to ask, looked up your website. Well, first off, I was going to say, if you being a prophetess out here, you can absolutely send that energy my way with, this music industry, these music industry checks. If you want to, you know, throw some prophesizing out there with that, that'd be great.
All
as well.
I can tell you is just do it. If it doesn't.
There we go.
If it doesn't, if you can't see it, then don't do it. But if you can visualize it, just keep doing it till you see your way. My pastor said Sunday, you know, faith requires you to move. And he was like, if you driving and you come upon some fog, do you just sit there and wait for the fog to move? Or do you move through the fog until you can see? So That's how we have to be. We got to move through the fog. As long as we know it's got to be something at the other end, as long as we keep moving, we'll see it. So, you know, that's what I have to tell myself. I have to remind myself just to keep moving.
That's what's up. That's all it is, too, is just believing in it. And that's like a word right there, because it's like that's what people get held up at, because they feel like if it's not dropped in their lap, then it's not supposed to happen. Sometimes you got to just go and do it, and then, like you said, and just sometimes it just happens like that. For me, I know that it's always like that, but, yeah. I was going to ask, with the business you're running, I wanted to know what made you want to get into that, doing that, and I really want to know the science behind making these products, because...
So, I didn't set out to be... I mean, I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. My friends tease and say that they never worry about me because I know how to find a dollar. But
right.
When Just Whipped happened, it was I literally just whipped it up, or literally it just happened. I've been dealing with shea butter since probably 2005.
Wow.
The first time I purchased shea butter, I was in Detroit. My sister and her husband worked for GM. And we had been to, like, some street festival. It's always some type of festival in Detroit. And I came across shea butter, and I liked it. So a few years later, you know, all the major corporations started having shea this, shea that. But really, if you use some, like, Vaseline shea lotion, there ain't really no shea butter in there for real, you know.
Right.
And so over time, I just got back into buying it raw, and I would make it myself. And someone commented on my skin one day. He asked me, would I make him some? This is literally like a month after I moved back to Houston. He said, will you make me some? And I made him some. He came back. He was like, yo, you got to sell this. Stayed on me. So I started sharing it with friends just to have people give me tips on how I could improve it. And about 6 months after that, I got my DBA and I started rolling with it. So I've been rolling with this for 2 years officially as far as making it for sales, and then a year and a few months as a formal company.
That's crazy. And I was looking up your website earlier. I was like looking it up, and it was something. I want to get the name right. It was a butter with talking about aches and pains.
Yes.
I was about to keep looking it up. I was like, that's exactly what I need, because I'm young old out here, and after a gig, I'm always sore. Like I got like old sports injuries. I should have quit after the freshman year, because I didn't do nothing after that because I got injured. But I got all these old-ass sports injuries, and I'm super aching on my ankles and on my calves and my back and in my arms after a gig. So I'm like, I'm definitely about to look this up again. I'm about to practice. I'm trying to see this Wi-Fi was messing up. I was looking up. Yeah, I'm about to get this right now. And then the beard butters, I saw that. I was like, that'd be good for people in my family and then some friends I know. They'll probably be interested in that. But right, I know he said he has some for his beard.
Her beard butters. I have a couple different types too, different scents and different flavors. Not flavors, but scents.
Different blends.
I'm telling y'all people right now, like I get compliments on my beard all of the time. I use Just Whipped products. They are amazing. My beard, it's like, it's luscious, you know. Like I feel like walking down the street and swinging it, like throwing it in people's face, you know.
It's being luxurious, a luxurious beard.
Aww.
I like to luxuriate,
shining and glistening. What did Birdman say? He said twinkling, glistening in the sun, twinkling, glistening. I'm messing it up. But I was gonna ask. This is my only last question before we get to the Savvy update. I was going to, because I'm very interested in this, because I see it, I try to support all the different black-owned businesses, and it's a lot of them that sell shea butter, and I always wanted to ask people that make that, like the science, because the only scientific thing I've ever done was mix ginger ale and Hennessy together. That's probably the only scientific. So I want to know the science behind putting together shea butter. Like, what did it, like, were you good at science and biology? Like, did you need to know that stuff to do that stuff? Because I don't know.
The answer is no. Yes and no, but more so no. My sister is a chemist. My sister has the chemistry degree. I have the law degree. this is not what, on paper, this is not what I should be doing. So I know it's a gift, right? But I cook. I'm a country girl. I cook. So I take at it like I'm preparing a meal. I know my basic ingredients, and then I know which extra ingredients to add to get different results. So that's my approach to this. I treat it like a cook. The only difference is I can't taste test this stuff. You know, I have to do it with faith and hope that, you know, I got the right enough amount of certain oils to bring forth or to yield, to bring forth the yield I'm expecting. So, like, with the one that you commented on for the aches and pains, you know, I definitely can't eat that because that's an oil that's made from a spice, you know.
Right.
But it helps with the circulation. And so when people use that, you know, a really good friend of mine, I have to exhale on that because kind of one of my crushes. But anyway, notice I said one of, because y'all know I'm still
one of. All right, that's what I'm talking about. I got multiple too. I ain't ashamed to say it. I got multiple too.
But his expression when he used it, I sent him some, and he was just like, "Wow!" He was like, "This is so great." But after playing ball, he was like, I put it on my back. I put it on my knee. He was like, this is great. He was like, you got to sell this. You could set this up in the gym and you would sell out. You know, and that's, it's one thing because I know his personality, so I know he wasn't kidding, but it's really reassuring to hear people not just believe in your product and want your product, but to have that confidence in it that you may not know exists. You know what I'm saying? That you may not have yourself in. You're like, let's see how this goes, because a lot of it is, let's see how this goes, and if it doesn't go well, I'll just remove it. But all glory to God. I ain't trying to just be super Christian on here, but, I mean, it is him who gave it to me. All glory to God. Everything that I put out has been well received. So it's a science, but I ain't no chemist or no biologist or none of that foolishness.
Okay, I just want to know, like, how they did it, because for people to get the notion, like, okay, put this on, all this stuff, put all this stuff together, different scent, and some of them even make it, like, I know some, it was one, Exor BB, I think Mercedes has one, I use it, and I'm like, how did she whip, because she got all these different fragrances, different smells, I'm like, there's some science to it, and it's all independent, I don't know how she gets the products. I was just knowing, just independently doing it. I just always wondered how y'all did that.
It's a lot of studying. You know, I had to learn how different, once I decided I was going to do this, and like I left my corporate job to do this, right? Because I knew that this was something special. And if I stayed in corporate America, I wasn't going to be able to give it the time that it needed. Plus, my corporate job to me just sucked. The money was good, but it wasn't what I needed to be doing. But a great part of it is studying, learning how different oils work. That was it for me, learning how they work individually and then knowing how to make them work together or what would happen if I combined certain things together, what would the outcome be. And so I found it to be a success, and I love it.
That's what's up. And I like your logo for it. I always look when I always, like, my one side of my brain is always business and then the talent, but I always look at business, and I be looking at people's logos. I'm like, yo, I'm just buying it off the logo. Like, your stuff, I was already interested when I saw your logo. I like how cool it is, like the cursive. I was like, that's real cool how that's set up. I like the way it looks. Just
you
like
know,
with Evan's
fought me on
website.
That? Thank you so much, because people have fought me on that. Like, marketing, people who want to create your logo for you, people you don't even ask for help, but they volunteer. And I'm like, yeah, but it's whipped. Like, it looks, don't it look like it's whipped? I was like, that's why the word can be my logo. Like, I don't need you to draw some figurine, because nothing's going to explain it better than just whipped. Like, that's just what it is. So thank you for liking that. Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, yeah, I'm going on this website because this logo looks cool as hell. Just whipped body butter, people. Body products. Make sure y'all get into it. We're going to post some more of that later. I'm legit trying to pull it up. If this waffle I went acting up, I'll be making purchases right now because I want some. I told you, I'm young old out here. I got a gig tomorrow, too, and I got to get on the plane later today. Woo! Can't do it. especially them airplane seats. I don't know where I'm sitting in. I didn't look at my itinerary, so hopefully I can relax and put my feet up. But we're going to get into Savvy Update because we got a lot of, even though we only got a little bit to talk about, I feel like we're going to get long-winded getting into it. So
right. We're
going to get right to the Savvy Update. Like Will said earlier when we started the show, last week's show, if y'all didn't tune in, y'all can go on soulsavage.com. And after this show, after you listen to it and listen to the Prince versus Michael Jackson show, it was absolutely insane. We had guests on in the beginning from Inside the 405 podcast, Travis Tester, and he's getting ready to drop a new podcast September 22nd. And he's doing visual too, so you can listen to it on SoundCloud, iTunes, and on YouTube. He's going to get visuals for it. And I like the way it looks, the way he posted it on his website. I mean, on Facebook. I like the way it looks. So y'all be on lookout for that. And then after we concluded with that interview, that's when the foolishness started. It was like, you know, Will came out the bat, you know, throwing fire shots, you know, saying blasphemous stuff like Prince couldn't sing. And I didn't I tell you, EB, I was going to lose it if he said that. If he mentioned it one more time, I was going to lose my cool. And that's what I did. I was trying to pull up the feed. We got so much feedback for that. I haven't read all of it yet, but one of them said, I think this is from Natalie from LA. She said that we also had co-founders of As Told by Her, Whitney and Haley Robinson. We had them on. They said that Whitney was the voice of reason during that debate. Cause I lost my mind, like legitimately. Yeah, when he said that, I went clean off the shelves. My mind went somewhere else when he said that. It wasn't no coming back. So anything I said, when I said that they couldn't get Michael on stage unless there were sterilized needles on the side, blame Will for that because he went there with it. I just tell the truth.
That was blasphemy.
That's not blasphemy. That is the y'all like to paint this pretty picture of these famous celebrities and say, oh, he was this, he was that. After the 90s, he had a collection of belts after that, so... You know, he had the needles, he had all that stuff after that. We're not going to act like we didn't see the 30th anniversary on TV and he was moving like he was part of the zombie apocalypse. Like, we're not going to ignore that. We're not going to ignore how high he looked on that special.
Pure blasphemy. Pure blasphemy.
That's not blasphemy. That is the ultimate truth. If the needles weren't on the side of that stage, he wouldn't get on after the 90s. I'm just keeping it 100. Prince ain't never stopped performing. April 21st, 2016 was the last day. He was getting it in. He had his demons too, but I like my drug addicts that know how to perform and keep it under wraps. He did that. I like my drug addicts that know, like Rick James, that could go on for years and you can't. Michael, we knew right off the bat what was going on. When he started doing that moonwalk, he did the star walk on that 30th special. And y'all remember that 2000, what was it, 2000, 2001? They had everybody on there, had Usher with
Whitney.
Somebody's dead leopard on his back. That whole, what was it, Monica and Whitney and all them was on there. Luther Vandross.
Yeah.
He was high as hell in that special. But yeah, all that foolishness, somebody called me foolish. Listen, I don't care. That wasn't no debate to me anyway, because I told y'all the real debate was Prince versus Rick James. That's the real debate. And then I dismissed what Will said because he's just basing it on him can dance, like Michael Jackson being able to dance. That ain't nothing. Prince played multiple instruments. That counts for everything. He produced, he songwriter. That trumps just singing and dancing.
No, it doesn't.
All day, every day.
Not
yes,
at all. Oh,
yes,
my goodness. I can't believe she said that. This is unbelievable.
Yes, I did, and I'm going to say it again. Can you play multiple instruments? Can you write songs?
As a matter of fact, I can.
That's my thing. It's always non-musicians that always... This has been happening for years. It started with jazz music to me because jazz music back in the day when we talk about the 20s, the 30s, it was straight up just about the musicians. And then when singers like Billie Holiday came in, then they started centering around the singers. I wish it would have went back to just musicals, because I feel like singers, y'all overrated. If we make y'all sound good, if we being 100. I'm saying this from a musician perspective.
You're not being
hyped up a little bit.
Yeah, right.
We make y'all sound good. We don't never get the respect we deserve. Mm-hmm. We get dismissed all the time. It's just being, you know how long it takes to learn songs, Will? You know how long it is to perfect that craft? And the fact that Prince could play everything?
Mm.
Get out of here, Will.
Oh, I'm touched.
That gets trumped on.
I'm touched. He could, look. He should have taken.
Oh, whatever.
He should have taken a singing lessons from Michael.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
No, he should have got a belt collection from Michael. That's the only thing he could tell him about.
After that was a belt collection for the needles.
That's
blasphemy.
That belt collection
Q-Lan?
For the needles. That's it. That's the only thing Prince did.
Q-Lan.
Prince had octaves. Prince had range. He had everything. Michael needs to be taking lessons from Prince.
Yeah, he had everything.
Except,
he had everything but the vocals. He had everything but the vocals.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
You really saying Prince can't sing?
That's exactly right.
Okay, we're about to move on to the show.
Oh, yeah?
You're not getting me hyped up again.
Love it.
Okay, the rest. I was going to ask you, I know you had a lot going on, Evie. What was your week like going in? I know you had a lot of stuff you had going on.
This week has been so crazy. Aside from like the music, like living, this lady this week refused to speak to me. She looked like she was deathly afraid of me because of my beard. My leopard beard, that I, maintain with just whipped products. But she thought I was Muslim. So she refused to speak to me at work. Like she left. Like she came in and she went to someone else. She went to our membership department and they brought her over to me to try to help her out. And I've never seen fear on anyone's face like I saw on that lady's face. Like it was genuine fear, like for her life. And I looked at her and I'm wondering, the first thing I jumped to is, did I cuss her out? Cause I'm known to cuss her out sometimes. But, Later, one of my colleagues from that department came over and told me the real reason. The lady thought I was Muslim, and she said that she could not speak to me because I was Muslim.
Wow.
So that was like the highlight of my week, I guess, is a highlight, which is, because I've never experienced discrimination in that particular way. Like, I've never thought of my beard as, you know, something to be discriminated against. I've never experienced religious discrimination. Even though I'm not Muslim, but I've never experienced discrimination on that level. Like, I've experienced the racial discrimination or the sexual orientation discrimination, but never that. So I'm glad that happened, because it actually made me stop and be more cognizant of discrimination that people of different faiths experience, even though I'm not of that particular faith. But that was the highlight of my week.
Yeah, that's definitely a highlight. Caucasian audacity. That's what I call that. Caucasian audacity.
And the funny thing about it was, so I work for a Jewish organization, and we preach like all inclusiveness, and everything is love. So at the doorway to my building, a huge building, it says hate has no home here. But to take it a step further, in the lobby of my building, there's an art exhibit on to be Muslim in New York City. So that was one of the things that we did in my company just a month and a half ago, almost 2 months ago. We put this exhibit up just to show solidarity across faith. In the past, we've had exhibits to show solidarity across racial backgrounds or sexual orientation. So we just put this up. So it was just funny to see this happen, you know, not shortly after. Well, shortly after we put this particular exhibit up. And I'm like, you know, she walked in and, hey, what can you do? But, you know, you got to love the ignorant as well, I guess they say. You kind of hope they see the light of day.
She didn't even read the sign. Clearly, she didn't read the sign. That was prejudice.
She she was too scared. Like, when I tell you,
probably couldn't leave
fear like that in anybody's face before. Like, I looked at her, and I've never seen her before. It was kind of weird. It threw me for a second. Because it was so, like, the fear I saw in her face almost made me feel sorry for her. Like, I wanted to help her. Like, oh, my God, who hurt you? But,
wow. Hey,
what can you do?
That's crazy. You spent in racism. That would throw me. Did it throw you off, like, when it happened? Or was you, like, did you think something was wrong with her, or did it just throw you off right off
well,
that?
Well, it just threw me off because I looked up and saw her, like, almost run away from my desk. Like, my coworker hadn't even brought her to my desk, but I guess the lady saw me, and she ran, and there was just fear in her face, and my coworker ran after her. And that was what threw me off, was just the fear in her face. After that, I was kind of like, and I hate to say this, it was like, okay, typical, like, but I didn't know at the time it was because of my beard. I thought it was because I was black, to be honest, because I'm one of a few black people that works for this organization. So I just assumed it was, you know, because I'm black, that's something I've experienced before. But not because I had a beard. I was like, wow. So, again, shout out to Just Whip for making my beard so luxurious.
Making it luxurious that Caucasian people hate on it.
Right.
And think you're Muslim. I don't understand people that do that. What is the correlation between that? They think everybody with a beard is Muslim? Is that what it is? Because I hear some friends that have beards say that all the time. They think they're Muslim. Like when they go to airports, they be trying to put their fingers in there. I'm like, how the hell somebody gonna put a bomb in a beard? Really?
Yeah, I mean, I've only gotten compliments on my beard. The only people who have said anything negative about my beard have been my parents, so they want me to cut it. But other than that, like, I've only gotten compliments about my beard. It's only been, you know, good things. And once again, I work for a Jewish organization. Every man in there has a beard. But
yeah, that's cool.
Black,
yeah.
Right. And their beards are better than mine. Like, I mean, I want a beard like some of them. They've been growing their beards basically since birth.
That's how, like, the one lady that thought I was Mexican, because it caught me off guard, because I was at the store, and I keep my headphones in, because I don't like people talking to me at the store. And she tapped me on my shoulder, and she was like, I'm about to get on the highway or whatever. And I thought she was going to say, because it was getting dark outside, that's why it caught me off guard, because I thought she was going to say, I'm getting ready to go on the highway because it's getting dark outside. She going to say, because she going to whisper it to me. She was like, because the Mexicans are out. And I was like, and then she going to look at me and say, no offense. I was like, what is going on right now? Like, this is, because I didn't even get mad. I was like, does this think I'm Mexican? What is going on right now? She was like, because the Mexicans are out. I'm like, what? Really? And she was like, I want to get home because the Mexicans are out. That's what she said to me. And she going to say, no offense, like I'm Mexican. I'm like, what? I actually need to check my DNA because I don't know. I might have a little Mexican in me. I don't know. I got to do that 23 plus me. What is it called? 23
and me
or something? I got to do one of those. I want to do one of those.
You know there's a colony of us in Mexico.
I know, right? That's what you call it. People don't know. A lot of Mexicans, they got a whole different thing because of slavery. They got all different mix of blood in them. Some of them Arab, Middle Eastern, Native American, Asian. That's why some of them, when you look at like when I look at George Lopez, he looks Native American to me. If he did like his ancestry DNA, he probably had Native American in him because he has like Native American features to him. And I think Jackie Chan, he looks Native American too, so. He might got that. That's what a lot of people know, because of slavery. They're all mixed with, like, Middle Eastern and Asian, Native American, some black, so. Yeah.
Man, we all cousins. We all cousins, all of
but
us.
But, yeah, that was, like, awkward race. I don't know what to call that. I think it was overt, but then I'm like, this is awkward, because I didn't expect that to come from her, because it caught me off guard when she said it. I was like, like, you expect somebody to say something, and then they twist it and turn it into something else? I was not expecting her to say that. She was like,
She's like, because the Mexicans are out. I was like, what? I was like, this is crazy. And then she goes, like, no offense. What? I was like, why do you think I'm Mexican? Like, this is random. But, yeah, I definitely get that. It's always an older, was she an older Caucasian lady?
Yeah, she was. I mean, okay, so the way I
describe
my sister, no offense to anybody listening, any of the listeners, I apologize for this. But the way I described it to my sister was, she looked like she was around the same age as our grandparents, but because she didn't have melanin, she probably was a lot older.
Did she have the leopard spots on her?
Well, yeah,
you know, older white people got them leopard, them old cancer spots on them.
I said that wrong. No, she looked like she was a lot older than our grandparents. But I'm willing to bet that she was in that, you know, 60, 70 range.
Oh, so she was an older white lady. That's the one that I always think they could get away with it, too. I'm like, you know, dusty old broad. I'm like, I'll cuss one of them out. And then they always look up. I try to scare them. I always try to scare older white women because it's just funny to me. Because I remember when I used to experience it a lot, when they would, like, clutch their purse and lock the doors on me. I remember one time I went with my sister to the library or whatever, and it was this white lady coming out. She had, like, a pile of books or whatever. And at the time, I always, like, clear my throat obnoxiously, like, really loud to scare people just to throw people off guard because I'm an asshole and I like doing it. And so it was a lady. I was going in, and she was going out. And she had, a stack of books. Like, you could barely see her face, and she had them. I was like, oh, I'm about to get her right quick. And I was like, it was, like, real quiet walking in. And then I was like, ah! I went like that. She dropped all them damn books. That shit was hilarious. I was trying not to laugh. She dropped all them damn books. I did it on purpose. I knew I was going to scare her. I'd be like, I used to clear my throat, like, obnoxiously to scare people. And I scared the shit out of that white lady because she dropped all the damn books. I was like, that shit is hilarious. And I remember I texted it to one of my friends. And they was like, why do you do that? I'm like, because it's funny. That's why I do that. Like, she was scary anyway. Wow. You know how they scared of black people? I'm like, well, let me give you something to be scared of. Let me just clear my throat real quick. I scared the crap out of that lady. The visual of that is still hilarious to me because she was like shaking. I wish we had video. We was recording right now, like live video, so I could show you how she dropped the books. Cause she was just shaking and dropped all the damn books. That shit was hilarious. But
I heard just either.
Listen, I got no shame. I got about 20 more stories of that. I didn't scare all kind of people. I didn't took old white people's carts and pushed them down the aisle when they didn't know that. I wish that lady that almost ran. Yeah, I didn't took one of they carts. Like, they was on the milk aisle, and I went all the way down to, like, where the crackers or snacks or something. I put it all the way down there just because they made me mad. Like, standing too long.
You got to change your name. You don't have to change your handle, but you got to change your name, your header name, to something petty. You are petty.
Bless heathen.
I thought I was petty.
It used to be Shane Magnifique. That's what it used to be, but I ain't trying to mess up the church's money, so I changed it to Bless Heathen. Because that's what I am. I did a lot of stuff. It's just funny to me doing that. Like, I'll take the old people's cart. If they make me mad, if they went somewhere else to look for something, they get the employee to get them something, I just push their aisle, they cart all the way to a different aisle. Just because. It's funny to me. But I embrace my heathenness. I ain't got no shame about it. That's why I'll be trying to act like I did nothing good in my life towards acting right. I try to act right. Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes you just got to do it.
Bruh.
I got like 20 Bruh. Stories like that though. I'm dead serious. I would like the lady. Oh, I didn't tell you about the time I told a story. This is the one. It was a lady almost ran over my foot, and I said, I hope that it was an ice storm at the time because she was like real hateful looking. Like, she looked like a racist. And she almost ran over my foot, and she didn't say excuse me or nothing. And she could have went a whole different way. That's how I knew she was doing it on purpose, because she could have went a whole different direction. She gonna get right up on me, almost ran over my foot. And then I was like, oh, you ain't gonna say. And then she kept on moving. I was like that old wide back lady at the grocery store. I was like, it was an ice storm outside. I was like, I hope you slip and fall on a patch of ice and break all your kneecaps.
I hope you go to the emergency room and you got like a $200,000 bill and you can't pay for it. And I hope they get you strung out on opiates to where you can't pay for it because you're stressed out because you can't pay for it. And I hope you get addicted to it for the rest of your life. That's how I am. I just go crazy like that. I just think of stuff like that and just keep going with it. I was just in that moment and it happened. I said it on the show before and it just happened before I got to the studio. And so when it happened, I said all that on the radio and Will was like, oh my God, what is going on the show? And then that was like our biggest show. I was talking about a while back lady at the grocery store. That's like the biggest show. I was like, that really happened. I didn't feel no way about it though, cause you know how many wide back ladies it is in Oklahoma City? I couldn't point out one if I tried. There's so many of them. So I don't even remember what she looked like. But yeah. Man, we went on a tangent to talk about wide back ladies again at the grocery store. Let's get to these raggedy people news. We're gonna get this portion of the show we call raggedy people news. I call it that. I had to separate it from savvy news because this news ain't savvy at all. So we have a different category. Very self-explanatory. So, first up on Raggedy People News, I'm going to say ESPN for this whack thing they did with Jemele Hill. They absolutely in Raggedy People News for that, for trying to get her off air. And then they tried to do some sucker stuff by trying to get two other black people that work at ESPN to try to fill in, because Michael Smith, her co-host on her show, was taken up for and said that if she's not going on, he's not going on. So they tried to get two other black people to replace them, and they said no too. So they should. I got them in savvy news too. But yeah, ESPN, y'all whack. How y'all get mad at her saying they white supremacists? Like, duh. Like,
I mean,
the obvious.
Especially
the most obvious thing.
Trump and all of his supporters have said. I mean, they basically said that he is a white supremacist. He supports white supremacy. He does not denounce it. All of his policies align with their beliefs. So Jemele was right. The White House supports white supremacy. That's just a fact. That's what it is. That's the day and time we live in. The day and time that we have lived in, and it's mind-boggling that now that people are just beginning to see that. I had a conversation with a couple of friends of mine a while back, a couple weeks ago, that white people seem to care more now about white supremacy and discrimination, racism, and all that. And my thing is, they don't care more that we're experiencing it, but they care more because it's now starting to affect them. As long as it didn't affect them or it didn't reflect badly on them, it's okay, but now it's starting to bleed into other areas that affect their daily life or their reputation, their jobs, or what have you. So now everybody wants to act like it's wrong or you know, it's bad, they denounce it. But Jemele didn't say anything wrong. What she said was right. And, yeah, ESPN, you are raggedy.
Can I say something
Yes.
It's not even just ESPN. What they did was in reaction to pressure that was put on them, right? Yeah, they ain't fit for falling for the pressure. But the elephant in the room is really not even an elephant. The damn White House. So how are we supposed to be content as citizens knowing that the White House, you know, is operating like the damn apprentice, thinking that you can just make a phone call and get people fired from their job? Like,
right, exactly.
You know, at all. And like, we had today's Constitution Day. Y'all know I'm a professor, so today was Constitution Day. And our speaker actually spoke on that. He was like, the thing is, the times that we're living in, the press, the face of the press has changed. So the press used to be the who had deadlines and they had to research and report and all that. But now every single one of us with a smartphone, we're pretty much reporters. Like what we're doing right now, we're reporting.
Right.
We're like our own version of 60 Minutes right now, or The View. And because of that, because of the presentation of media changing, They don't have any storylines because the White House doesn't give them any information. That's why they cover stuff like him going to dinner or, you know, Melania wore a new dress by a new design. Like, there's no breaking news out of the White House. Like, nothing. This little boy, like the little boy cut the grass today. Y'all seen that?
Yep.
I didn't even see that.
I saw it.
It's like an 11-year-old kid who wrote a letter to Trump saying he wanted to come help cut
Oh, yeah, I think I read a little bit about that.
So he's cutting the lawn. Like, that's I literally saw that as breaking news today. I'm like, what the fuck? But it's because they won't let us in on what's going on in the White House. And we know why. It's because they have no control over anything that has to do with our government. They're just like,
right. He's
freeing up things regarding, it's a Freedom of Information Act request for the visitor laws at Mar-a-Lago down in Florida. No different from his tax returns. But back to ESPN, the reason why I'm not worried about ESPN and Mel Hill situation is, one, because all her people stood up for her. That was great, right? But beyond that, we have to keep in mind who ESPN's parent company is. It's Disney. It's not just ABC. Disney World. And Disney is one of the few corporations like Disney, Apple, maybe a handful of corporations in America that, you know, you really can't bully around. You can't push them around, Trump. You can't call up your friends to make things happen for you because they're so big. They're so massive. They are a global brand. So imagine Disney World having to explain why they fired an African-American journalist for stating something that millions of other people have stated. Like, Disney's
right.
not going to let that happen. They can't let that happen, you know. Now, they can reprimand her, but that's the extent of that. Like, she will be back on the air. And they're talking about, oh, they're losing thousands of subscribers a day. No, they're not, because ain't nobody cutting off their cable because Jemele Hill is on ESPN. Because people
right,
still
exactly.
want to show. You know, they still want to watch Fox News. You got to have cable to watch that foolishness. So it's a bunch of bullshit. But y'all know they're going to always scream the loudest. You know, there are more minorities. Minorities are the majority in this country. So
right.
that far white, I was trying not to say white, but that right-wing group of that element, and then those silent people, they're outnumbered. So what they do is they raise a lot of hell. That's why you have people like Kid Rock. What the hell he going to run for the Senate for? You know, you have people like this who are just loud and wrong because they want you to believe it. So they keep being loud and wrong. And you see, they keep using the most popular loud pieces that exist in America.
Right. Yeah. I 100% concur everything you just said. You hit it right on the nail with everything. I was just going to casually talk about them because they're trash. I mean, I think Roland Martin, this is rarity because I hardly agree with Roland Martin, but he said something on his show. No, I'm being serious. Like, I hardly agree with anything he says. But yeah, this time I saw what he said about the controversy, and he says he doesn't go into naming it this person a racist or white supremacist because the conversation always gets negated from what the real issue is, and then they start harping on these words because that's what really racism is not being called a racist. Like, that's what their big focus is.
Don't
call me a racist, don't call me a white supremacist. So I think with that point he was making, I 100% agree, because whenever you do call it that, he's made a good point and said that instead of saying it, just say, why did you have Steve Bannon in your cabinet? Why did you have this person in your cabinet if you're not a white supremacist, if we're going to go with that line of thinking, or just saying it? And which I agree with, because it's a waste of time. Because again, like the whole conversation, like on every network that's talking about it in the news, they're just harping on the word white supremacist. They're not talking about the reasons why he would be called one. And it's like a thousand of them. Like, where do we want to start with his Klan daddy? We're going to talk about when he went to the black people in the '70s, the 5 black boys in New York. Are we going to go from that?
You know, it's a long list, the birther issue. He's the one that stirred up the whole conversation with Obama and all that stuff. I'm like, we can go in so many directions we can go with it. And I just simply say, it's evident what it is. And I love about the situation is that, like you said, her coworkers and the people that work for her, they could have easily been a Sage Steele or a Stacey Dash or Jason Whitlock and completely were trying to ride the waves of their white counterparts to make them happy and been like, she's wrong or whatever and we're going to come on. But they stood up and was like, no, we're not going on. And so I think she went on the show Wednesday and she didn't take back her comments at all. I'm trying to pull up the tweet with the internet. My internet's running slow, so I can't pull up the article so I could give y'all verbatim what she said on her tweet account, on her Twitter account. But I just say I love that factor of it. Because that's all it is. If it wasn't so much backup, the only thing they respond to is the rating. And I'm pretty sure, like you said, nobody is going to stop their cancellation or whatever for whatever reason. They probably didn't pay the bill anyway. That's, it was going to get cut off anyway. So they have no reason. It was going to get cut off anyway. So those followers of ESPN don't count. So there's still, people still going to watch it. I didn't really halfway watch the NFL anyway, but with the whole Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick thing, and being blatantly, the NFL for these owners being blatantly disrespectful and blatantly prejudiced against him, I'm not watching anything. So if it's on at a hotel I'm in, I'm not watching it at home or whatever, but I'm not watching the NFL, and I'm with D.L. Hughley. You justify having, domestic abusers you have, on your league. You have domestic abusers, you have wife beaters, you have, rapists, you have murderers, you have, child abusers and people that are in shock, like what D.L. Hughley said, and shot himself, Plexo Bird shot himself and he still went to jail and got back in the league. But yet, just somebody standing up for justice, standing up for something righteous and standing up for what's right. Just on principle, you got an issue with that. So yeah, and what D.L. Hughley said, he said, you sorry if you do it. He said some other choice words. We on radio. I know I just threw a couple out there, but I ain't going to be too vocal. I'm trying to bring it down. But he called him a sorry MF if you for that. And I'm with it because that's not moral. Like, how are you can't be, you lose the right to, he said you lose the right to be moral when you allow stuff like that to happen, and especially electing this kind of president. Like, you have no right to say stick to sports or stick to music. And I get those emails all the time. I told you with the Umar Johnson situation.
Right, right.
And when I said that, they told me to stick to music. And whatever. So, I'm just saying you.
Tell me that. Whatever you said about Umar, I gotta hear that. Cause I am not a fan.
Oh, it's on, yeah. You look up the show. I think you can search it on there. I think we do two shows or one show, but yeah.
We did two shows.
Yeah, and I broke it one with the Breakfast Club. We were talking about the Breakfast Club and when he's on Roland Martin's show, and I was just saying how ridiculous he was and that everybody was focused on if he was a descendant of Frederick Douglass or whatever. And I'm like, the real point is his intention. Like, his intention, everybody gets riled up with these words of calling somebody a coon. I'm like, the whole point of that, his intentions behind, he wants to brainwash black people to follow in line with Pan-Africanism, which I think is ridiculous. You know, he wants to follow in line with that, and he wants to build a school. He doesn't have any kind of paper trail to the school he's trying to build. He wants a private school to where there's no money trail behind. I'm like, he wants to do all these different things. He basically said he said once your kid gets there, he's not coming home. Like, what kind of person over school tells you your son can't go home? He said this in a video. He said that your son's not coming home because you didn't know, you don't know what to do with him or something like that. Why would he go home? Like, that's what he said in the video. Like, this is out of his mouth. And then when they gave him donations, they gave him like $300,000. I don't know the specific amount, but he said, he's like, I like that. I think it was like $100,000 at first. And he's like, that's good, but that's not enough. And he was like, y'all spend y'all money on Jordans and blah, 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 but y'all won't give me this. Like, he wasn't even grateful for the amount they gave him. Like, it's just ridiculous stuff like that. It shows his intentions, and he says, like, and then it was just things I was breaking apart in the video to where he was like, that the black church was conducting with the FBI, and that's why we have no money circulating in the black community because they're with the FBI. But at the same time, after he said that, he starts plugging some show he's on
to where he's going to a black church, getting paid to do whatever, to do a seminar. Like, get out of here. Like, are you serious? As soon as he said that, he said he's going to be at a Baptist church talking about relationships. Are you serious? You're not even married. Like, you're not married, you don't have kids. So why would somebody take advice from you? That's what my issue was. But yeah, I'll get on it. And then I don't trust him because he ain't got no stash. Like, how you got a full beard with no stash? Get out of here. You a clown. Got a whole beard with no stash. Who does that? But yeah,
that's why
we're getting off on it.
That's the Whip product.
Yeah. Promotion again. It's Whip. I'm going to get some. Get your beard right. But yeah, we're going to move on because we run out of time. Got 5 minutes.
Q-Lan.
Yes.
Hey, may I make a serious comment? Roy, you, all three of you have made some great, great comments. I think Julie's on the line, UEB and, Q-Lan. Very interesting comments. May I make just a few, and I'll be off just in about 2 or 3 minutes. If you notice, racist white people don't want you to talk about racism. And there was a comment made, not too long ago that, why are you guys talking about racism? Racism is almost over in this country. And I thought it was ridiculous, right? Now, if you notice back in 2012, Donald Trump called President Obama a racist. All right. And this clown that have been elected to the White House, and that's a whole different story. It will take a lot of time, has cheated everybody that has done business with him. You can go back to the Taj Mahal. 3 times divorced, 4 times bankrupt, and everybody says, well, he's a great businessman. No. He supposedly had lost $1 billion. Now, the three of us, if we had $1 billion in our pockets, will we ever lose it? I don't think so. I don't think so. How could you lose that? He's never shown his taxes. But what I want to get to also is this thing about Jemele Hill and also with Colin Kaepernick. If you notice, about 3 or 4 months ago, he said that no NFL owner would give Colin Kaepernick a contract because they are afraid. Please understand what I'm saying. Afraid of getting a nasty tweet from him. Okay. And now he wants to get Jemele Hill fired. Who in the hell is he to interfere with somebody's private life instead of running this damn country? We've got North Korea, and you don't know what the hell they're getting ready to do right now. He's under an investigation, and good Lord, he may not be here tomorrow, right? But what I'm saying is, it kind of reminds you of a dictatorship, if you want to think about it. He wants to dictate everything from the White House that goes on in this country, who stays here, who works here, who lives or dies, and this is a damn shame, I'm telling you right now. All right. You got North Korea, you got Russia, you got Iran, and those countries are run by dictatorships, and also various countries around the world that are run by dictatorships. And you see where this guy is going with his neo-Nazi racist self. And who in the hell is he to try to say this girl shouldn't work? Are you there? Did I cut somebody off? Q-Lan. Okay, did I lose my connection here? Q-Lan? EB. Okay, I can't hear you guys.
I was going to say, it's live radio, people.
Okay.
Can you hear now?
I can hear you now.
Can you hear now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Told y'all this is live radio, people. We'll press on. I was saying that I have Jemele Hill's tweet pulled up finally. This is what her tweet said that started off everything, which she did on September 11th. I think that's when she tweeted it. It says, Donald Trump is a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. And then it says, the next tweet, it says, the height of white privilege is being able to ignore his white supremacy because it's of no threat to you. Well, it's a threat to me. And then the next tweet says, Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president of my lifetime. His rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period. And this ESPN statement on Jemele Hill, it says, the comments on Twitter from Jemele Hill regarding the president do not represent the position of ESPN. We have addressed this with Jamil, and she recognizes her actions were inappropriate. Woo! That's a strong word right there. Inappropriate? Really?
Right.
Factual? But, yeah, we're going to get on from that sadness because we run out of time, 30 minutes. I'll just say, yeah. If she gets on, hopefully she won't be fired from this. I think she's getting a lot of outpouring support from different celebrities. I know Gabrielle Union, John Legend, people in the entertainment industry, and then also I think sports. I think Colin Kaepernick tweeted about it too. So shout out. She's in Savvy News. Jemele Hill is in Savvy News for me for just speaking the truth and just be unapologetically speaking the truth and whether or not she has a job or not. And we already know what ESPN about anyway. Like Stephen A. Hill, that's why he gets on TV, does what he does, because he said he got suspended for saying something against, like, domestic abuse or something like that. And that's how he felt. He had to take that back because it was like an outpouring of tweets or something like that got him in trouble. But it's funny to me that they'll let that go, but when she's just speaking on, like, evident stuff that makes him a white supremacist, they got an issue with. But, yeah. Yeah, white people just get mad at when you call them a racist or white supremacist. But I'm like, you align yourself with that, so how can somebody not call you that? But, yeah, you got anything else in Raggedy People News? Because we go finish off Savvy News real quick so we can get to the topic.
Yeah, no, those were the two things, NFL and ESPN. That was right.
Yeah, that was all mine, too. I'm glad we got through it. I was going to talk about, I guess in Savvy News, this is savvy to me. Some people might have a different opinion. I just quickly wanted to say that I don't know if it's the state. I think it's just a record label. I was trying to pull up the article. Did you hear about somebody with the Roger Troutman camp suing Adrian Bronson, the dude for the Uptown Funk?
Yeah.
I saw that going. Like, as soon as I heard that song, I'm like, oh, this is More Bounce to the Ounce. Like, as soon as I heard that guitar riff in the beginning, I'm like, that's absolutely Roger Troutman.
Yeah, as a music man, the first time I heard Uptown Funk, I heard everybody but Bruno Mars. I heard Zapp and Roger. I heard the Gap Band. I heard George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic. I heard everything else, and I know it was supposed to be his ode to funk music, but he stole from so many people. I heard the Marvin Gaye. He stole from so many people. And I'm glad that we're at the point now that these older artists can finally do something about when people sample them without permission, or when people steal certain elements and try not to credit them or to discredit them for their work. So that's absolutely savvy to me. Shout out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the same. They had an issue with, I know people was making a big deal about Robin Thicke, and they thought that the Marvin Gaye family was being greedy. I'm like, no, they wasn't. Like, I've asked every musician, every prominent musician that works right now, like any big name you could think of that backs any famous celebrity or whatever. If you ask them, they said Pharrell definitely got that instrumentation from Marvin Gaye's Gotta Give It Up. Cause the only difference, cause I'm a musician, I'm a drummer, so I know what it is. When you hear, the only thing he did was make that kick drum, he slowed it down a little bit. But it's absolutely the same drum pattern. It's just the kick drum is a little bit slower. But that's absolutely that Marvin Gaye song. And people that don't understand, it's one thing, he's playing it, you could be playing it, but at the same time, that's still a sample. It doesn't have to be the exact sample, but when you make a carbon copy of that, that's stealing. Like, you gotta give credit. And that's why I said I wasn't sold on that Bruno Mars. This has nothing to do related to the Bronson case, but that's why I wasn't sold on the Bruno Mars album, because I'm like, this is mediocre R&B. Like, he basically took, like, old 90s R&B piano melodies and different chords. And then also I heard on Questlove Supremes when Jimmy Jam was on that he actually helped him, because there was some chords. I was like, yo, this sounds like something Jimmy Jam would do on some of the records. And he actually was on there, but I don't think he was credited for it. And that's why I heard some of that. But he got paid under the table. That's why a lot of people don't understand when I'm saying it. I'm not trying to diss. I'm saying this from a musician perspective. Like, I get, like, how these records are made. And so when I hear this stuff, it's absolutely a ripoff. But, yeah, I just want to mention that. I thought that was savvy news because I'm like, yeah, that I've been said that Uptown Funk. Now, I think Angie Stone was trying to say they took one – I think one verse was like, Uptown Funk you up, Uptown Funk. They tried to say – she tried to say that they stole that line. But I'm like, that's hard to prove.
Yeah, it was hard to prove that.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought that was savvy. And I'm gonna try to get through quickly so we can go to the break and get to the topic. I like Sydney, you know, Sydney and Monique's, open relationship podcast. I like that podcast. Like, I'm trying to catch up on it, but they be talking about some dope stuff on there. Cause I just listened to one podcast. It's on play.it. I'm giving them free promotion and everything. I'm trying to get her on the show cause I want to talk about. Like, cause she can talk about some real stuff. I'm trying to get her on there. I just gotta look up. But yeah, Monique be talking some real stuff on it. Like, she be giving them, like, real Hollywood stuff that, like, no celebrity would give. Because, like she said, playing the game or whatever, when you don't understand the rules and how it applies, it's easy to go with. And she was talking about, Dick Gregory passing, and she was talking about how, Hollywood works. And they were talking about, like, how many actors, the women actors, how much they get paid versus the men actors. And it's crazy. Like, they get paid over, like, $40 million. And I think the highest one was, like, Emma Stone. They got, like, $20 million. And sometimes they get paid even more than that, like, $60 to $70 million versus, and then not even get to the black actresses, they get paid, like, under $10 million. Like, that's crazy. Because I'm thinking, because if you're not in Hollywood, you think every single one of them make over $1 million for them, and they don't even get paid that much, especially if it's an independent movie. It's not even $100,000 sometimes. And she was saying how Lee Daniels, after she won the Oscar, she was supposed to play Richard Pryor's mother, grandmother or mother, and she said that she asked for $300,000 for that one, and he said it was too much.
Yeah.
And she said that Lee Daniels said that she said that Lee Daniels told her that her husband was overbidding her. That's crazy. And this is after they made Precious. And she won the Oscar. He said that. That's wild.
Yep.
Cause I'm thinking they get paid way more than that. And then she was breaking down Girls Trip and all that stuff and saying how Will Packer makes these low budget movies and he wins big at the box office. Like I was saying, it got over $100 million. And she said that all of them that stars on there should have been millionaires after that movie. But that's crazy how the business works, how that all that stuff happens. I just love the show how she breaks down everything. And I believe everything she says. I don't feel like she, like, every time I hear Monique speak, I don't, and people get offended by people, like I told you, the one show, that people are turned off by, like, loud and confident people. Like, you gotta be quiet, confident. Like, you can't express yourself the way you want to. They want you to be quiet. And they believe Tyler Perry. I think a majority, if you ask some black people, believe Tyler Perry, Oprah Winfrey, Lee Daniels over Monique. Just off of the strength of their power in Hollywood, they believe it just for that. Reason why I said I believed it the last time was because Tyler Perry said that you got the streets hot right now, so I can't. He said that he was in the wrong, but he can't say it in the media because he said that Monique got the streets hot right now, so he can't say nothing. Because he just got a deal with Viacom, with BT.
Right.
And he's producing a lot of content. That's why he said that. That's why it makes sense to me. And when she said that, I believed everything she said. Because I'm like, what she got to lie for? But yeah, I really want to get her on the show because I want to get like deep and delve to this. Because I just love the way they communicate with each other. Because when I see them, people talk about open marriage and all that stuff. Like to me, I feel like they're open and communicate. And we're going to get to the black love. That kind of transitions to the topic, black love.
Hold on. Yeah. Wait, hold in. I have a question, you guys. Yes. So, Dick Gregory passed last month on August 19th.
Right.
Y'all know his funeral is only tomorrow? Right.
Dick
Gregory on ice. Let me tell you something.
What is going on? Are we GoFunding our icons?
An issue with his children. I'm not completely sure, but I think there was an issue with his children that prevented the funeral from happening, you know, right after his death or shortly thereafter. That has, because Dick Gregory had, he had how many kids?
I think over 10. I know for sure.
Oh, over
10. Over 10 kids.
Yeah. And I think there was some sort of issue that prevented that his funeral from happening shortly after his death. That has been postponed, and they had this man frozen, fried, laid, and everything else. So, yeah.
I mean, because literally, when you look at a calendar, it's been a month. Like, he died Saturday or Sunday, the night, whatever day the 19th was, and tomorrow's the 16th. I saw tweets this week asking Alpha if they would like to be a pallbearer, and I'm like, a pallbearer for who? Why this man not?
Right.
Like, and why ask Alpha to be his pallbearer?
I also want to know that since you said that, I was thinking, I was like, did he not have a will, or did he believe in wills or anything like that? Because he wasn't no spring chicken, so he was up in age. So you would think somebody that age would have, you know, like some kind of thing to where if they passed away, they have everything set up to where nobody would have issues. But you know what I mean? Like, I would have thought he would have had all this stuff, like, taken care of before he passed. Like, or maybe he does, and maybe they, I don't know, like, his wife is still living, so I'm trying to figure out why her kids, to me, I feel like if the spouse is still alive, then the spouse should take care of all that. Like, I don't understand why the kids always have to, like, because it's 10 of y'all, like, y'all always going to agree on, oh, we want this kind of flowers at the church, or, like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, let your mama handle all that. Like, why y'all got to have a say-so? That's just
some background. So it'll be in the expose, and we'll learn about
exactly.
It. But it really
right.
bothers the spirit. Like, this man has literally been cold for 4 weeks. Like,
that's James Brown.
Yeah, like James Brown. Oh, what's the guy name from the 80s? Casey Kasem. Has he even been buried yet? Remember how long that took?
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that, actually.
I know, right? I was like, dang, that was a cool minute.
Like, what's going on? So when you brought up Monique talking about Dick Gregory, that, like, set up my antennas. Like,
right.
Oh, my God. Man, still is he chilling in somebody's funeral home right now. Still.
That's wild.
Hey, if any of you haven't, Q-Lan, if any of you haven't read his book, and I'm not sure you haven't. He wrote a book back in the 70s called Nigger. It's a must read. I don't know whether you read that or not, but it's a deep, deep book. And we'll kind of let you know what's going on right now. Yep, check it out. Check it out.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
Yep. And there, and
what
most
are we going to do right now? Yeah.
And most of you already know, he started off as a comedian.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I actually have one of his first albums. You can listen to one of his first comedic album on my website, edforprez.com.
Okay.
Damn. Yeah, what we're going to do right now is go to break. Man, we running out of time short, but yeah, we're going to get to this topic real quick, talk about black. It shouldn't be that long. We talk about black love. I want to talk about, I don't know if y'all saw the show OWN, Black Love. They had like a little series of different couples. It wasn't just celebrity couples. They had like different regular couples in there as well. I thought it was like real cool. How they highlighted different topics on marriage and stuff. So after we play this song, I hope y'all some T.J. Moses fans, because I got this, hopefully Will got the T.J. Moses song queued up. We get right, once we play this song, we'll be right back with the topic talking about black love.
King than a boss, rather have a good man than a daddy, rather ride shotgun in the old school with a cool dude than a rich dude acting badly, gladly, cause I ain't the average kind, rather be
gon' find a bad bitch. Fact is, a love like mine you'll never find. I need you to understand. I need you to comprehend.
That's real good. Hey, back. Hey, this is the Soul 70 Show. EB and Q Lynn Green and special guest, Julie.
It's my joint right there. I gave y'all turn it all the way up in the car music right there.
Hashtag that turn joint bumps. Come on, people. Come on.
That's that turn this up music right there. Especially that one, because that one jammed all the way through. I love it. Teacher Moses, we gotta get her on too. I keep saying that. I was trying to interview her for the website, but I'm like, I'm trying to get her on this show. But she's amazing. Like, I feel like she's like the most hidden gem in the music industry.
Let me tell y'all something. Teacher Moses
tell us what,
been touring on one major album release since 2004. It is 2017.
Man,
and she is still touring, still releasing albums, mixtapes. She is still doing her thing. Complex Simplicity started all of this. This is when we first saw her, you know,
man,
going big on BET, the Be Your Girl video. So, shout out to Tidra.
I know. She got a Hype Williams video. Can't nobody say that. When the budget
right,
was still all right, she got a Hype Williams video. Who gets that now? Nobody. And every time I think of that, her first album, Complex Simplicity, it makes me mad because I remember when that album came out, and I remember if it would have got just the promotion it needed, she would have been bigger than A. Marie at that time. Because A. Marie was popping back then. She would have been bigger than her. And I told y'all, Scott Storch snorted all the budget for TNT there because he did publishing for them, so he snorted all the budget up. I'm still mad about it. But yes, we were transitioning to the topic, talk about Black Love. I watched it. I think it's been on for some weeks. I want to say for a month, but I'm not sure. I think it was like 4 to 5 episodes. I'm not sure, but it came on the OWN network and I was watching it. They had different, married couples on. I think celebrity couples like, Megan Good and Devon Franklin, Warren Campbell and Erica Campbell, Shanice and Flex Alexander and try to think of some more. It was some other. It was one actor that's on, I think, Insecure. The last week's episode, he the best friend of Lawrence's, the light skinned dude. He's on there with his wife.
Yeah.
And have y'all seen that the documentary? The documentary is by two married couples. I'm trying to pull up their names to get it right. But yeah, have y'all seen that own series?
It's crazy. I tried looking it up maybe 2 weeks ago because they've had a couple episodes on my on demand, and it wasn't added to on demand yet. So I need to go back and see if
it's really good.
So yeah,
it's really good, and I love how like they had different married couples on. They've been married for over 20 plus years, 30 plus years, and they start talking about love, but then they start talking about like different personality traits and how that's like a big factor into it, because like I feel like marriage, like you gotta actually like the person you married to, and I feel like most of the divorces that happen, they don't like the people. Like you love them because they do certain things, but you don't actually like being around them,
right.
You know what I mean, or talking to them. And I feel like all the couples that were on, like they all seem like they have like good communication, like even because you can see some of them are like some of the couples, they have like different personality traits, like they're like completely opposite, but I can see how that works because they like realize like, oh, this, she acts like this or he acts like this, and this is how I have to talk to them. Like they actually take account how they, cause they're so used to how they brought up, they're probably used to talking to people like that, but when they got in the relationship, they didn't realize how they were talking to people until they got married. Like stuff like
right.
that I think is cool. That they were like highlighting, and then like real issues. Like it was one couple that was on, like they were like married for over like 25 years or whatever, and they had never had any marital issues, but then their son died like when he was like on to be like a college superstar or whatever. They said he was good at everything, like music and all that stuff and the arts and stuff like that. And he had like some heart condition they didn't know about, and he was swimming and he died from that heart condition. And they said they raised him, and they said that was like a big, I guess some kind of relationship block. They had a little relationship
mm-hmm.
block between that, but they said everybody that was related to them thought they were going to break up after that when their son died.
I think,
I'm not
old enough. I don't have children. I'm not married yet, any of that stuff. But from what I've seen, what I've heard, the majority of marital problems that happen, especially in couples that have been together for, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 and upward years, they happen from issues relating to their children. And I think that's probably, you know, an issue of a little bit of resentment and a little bit of I told you so, a little bit of blame. So that doesn't surprise me. That's actually, you know, pretty common from what I've heard and read, but that's still sad. Wow.
Yeah, and I love, oh yeah, Viola Davis and her husband was on as well. They were talking about real stuff. I think the next episode comes on Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember. I usually just watch it because I have it recorded on my DVR. I just look at it when it pops up. But yeah, I love how like they talk about that, and then they talk about like financial stuff. They talk about like some of them thought about getting divorced. Like some of them got divorced and then got back together, like stuff like that. And I feel like it's all highlighting like unique couples, and it's all unique and fits. Like I feel like the main thing with marriage is like the communication and the honesty, but they have different ways. People have different, I think the highlight of it all is like people have different ways of communicating and being honest. So the way like I would want somebody to be honest with me may not work for somebody else. Like for me, I just want you to be straight up and honest. Like I can take the truth. Some people want you to give it to them a certain way. I don't care what form it comes in. I can take it. But some people don't know how to take it. You know what I mean? So some people don't like being blunt. Some people don't like it. Just some people like to be finessed with the truth. But yeah, I think all of it like boil down to, what it is that works for that couple. And I feel like they all do what works for them. And I feel like their honesty and communication, I feel like that's like a constant. Like people think that they'll do one thing, but then they'll stop doing it when they get married and think that, oh, well, that's how I am. Like, no, you shouldn't have that attitude. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like you should be thinking you can do your own thing. Like you operate. And I think some of them made the points that they try to operate like the way they were single, the way they were, they put their single, the way they thought when they were single, into the marriage, and that's what I think causes a lot of issues in marriages, is thinking like that.
Right.
I'm trying to think of the name of the couple. Oh, here it is, right here. Their names are Cody and Tommy Oliver. Cody, Elaine Oliver, and Tommy Oliver. And they're both, they're a good looking couple. I like the way I think they interview them, and I don't know how long they've been doing it, but, or how they got, it picked up on the network, but they're a married couple, black married couple filmmakers. So I thought that was cool. Yeah, they're probably gonna get nominated. It's already getting talks of Emmy nominations, so.
Emmy? Yeah.
For next year, so that'd be a good look for them. You had said something about couples, like pick our favorite black couples.
Yeah. Like especially in the black community, we do this. You know, I know y'all seen it lately on social media. Like people post a couple of me like goals or you know
yeah.
couple of my favorite. And we all have our favorite celebrity couples. We all have these couples that we love and admire. But then we also have these couples that we're iffy on, or these couples that we don't really like them together, or that we get tired of seeing. So I was wondering, between you and Julie, what are some of your favorite celebrity couples, you know, the black celebrity couples?
Mine would be
favorite.
Angela Bassett and Courtney B. Vance.
I love them.
Couple right there. They are like,
yeah.
They are goals because they're brilliant in their craft. They don't hold back when they have something to say. They don't say a lot, but when they have something to say, it's bold. And then they're beautiful, you know, and they look good
Absolutely.
Together. So I just love them. She is body goals, honey, because those are
I know, right? She's been body goals since What's Love Got to Do with It? With those arms?
Yes.
Crazy. What, you got some more? Because I'm still trying to think of some more.
Would be probably them and the Obamas. You know, we all love the Obamas. Love Michelle and Barack. They're awesome. These just black couples? We just want black couples?
I mean, you know what? We don't have to limit it to black couples because love is universal.
The only white couple I got is Jill and Joe because I love Biden. So Uncle Joe and Jill Biden. Or Dr. Biden, I should say, because she is a college professor at, I forgot the name of school, Nova, North Virginia. So, I like them as a couple, too, because they meet each other, you know what I'm saying? Because that's a lot to marry a man who lost his whole family. What kind of woman
right.
do you have to be? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, wow, that's admirable. And then just, the way he loves on her and just his personality, I know it's fun, you know, just watching them. When you just watch people's body language, so if I had to pick an older couple, they would be the older couple.
Right. I think you go ahead.
No, I was going to say Denzel and Pauletta.
Yeah.
Denzel Washington,
yeah.
Pauletta, and then
right.
Samuel L. Jackson and LaTanya Richardson Jackson.
Isn't it crazy? I always think of them with Denzel as well. With those two couples,
right.
I always think
exactly.
of them. Those are ones I think of the most.
Yeah, I love them. And I love the like when you watch their interviews and you see them together, you can, I'm a, like Julie said, like I love and I believe in love, so I believe in being able to see it, and when I look at them, I see it in their eyes. I see it when they're together. Like, those people love each other.
Yeah. Well, I know we run out of time, but if we could get, like...
Can I ask a quick question?
10, 15, yeah.
Can I ask a quick question?
But answer mine, can we get, like, 10, 15 more minutes?
Sure. No problem at all.
Okay.
No problem at all. All
right, cool.
Okay.
All right.
Will and Jada. Is that, are they together? Is it, are they cool? Or is the media, you know, I heard some stories back, but there was some riffle or anything like that. To me, they've been together for a long time. What,
you said Will and Jada?
Yeah. You were talking about couples,
together.
Right?
Listen, they, people
well,
just be
I
lying
think,
for
I think he's
clickbait.
Scientology ain't gonna let them break up.
Hilarious. I don't believe that though, but that's hilarious.
No, have you seen the negative news about, you know, some crazy stuff going on, you know? And there was some ripping.
It's all lies if it is. They just trying to get a story. That stuff ain't true.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a fan of Will and Jada, but we'll save that for later. Go ahead, Q-Lin.
You not?
I'm with you. I'm
absolutely
not, a fan.
Not. Absolutely not.
That was going to be one of my couples. I like the way they live together, the way they interact with each other.
I mean, I can admire that, but something about them together, I just, no.
It's fake. It's fake, it, just like her coming out against that movie about Tupac is fake. Because you feel some kind of way.
Yeah.
You
oh, man. Fired. On this show.
Let me say this. Everybody, please, please go and buy these Just Good products because Julia's over here preaching, telling the truth. My beard is luxurious because of her. She is speaking out against the evils of Will and Jada. And
man, y'all been doing like, I can't co-sign that because y'all ain't going to get me in trouble. I ain't going to say nothing.
Julie got me pulling another glass of bullets. This is amazing.
I'm not going to get in trouble, so I'll just say, I love them as a couple. They look good together. So I'm playing it PC on that one.
I have
but,
one.
Right, right.
Another one. The Lawson.
Oh yeah. Wait, no.
I don't like Tina and Richard.
You know how I feel about Tina's daughter.
I know you and Lemonade. I know Sour Lemonade, not your friend. However, her mama. And
hilarious.
Her mama,
is you basing that off of that, E.B. Lee, because of Beyonce?
I got to be strong in my hate. I don't.
Oh, that's not nice.
It can't waver?
I can't waver, no.
That's not nice. They say they cool as hell. It was somebody I know that DJ a gig. They said that they really like lovey-dovey with each other, like they 20-year-olds.
That's why I'm going to have to, because I'm getting old, and it ain't happening yet, so I'm going to have to do like
a I'm sitting here eating some pasta. You almost made me choke.
I'm
waiting.
You know what I'm saying? He'll tell you
but
I can
no,
wait
real.
For the kitchen, but he don't act right. Then I was trying to get Nas a chance, and now he with this old fake Barbie chick. It's just like, you know, what it's like.
I'll say mine. I like Sally Richardson, Whitfield, and Dondre Whitfield. They're like
dope-looking
couple.
I love them.
I want to say this, I know they broke up a long time ago, but I like Lenny Kravitz and when Lisa Bonet were together. They were a cute looking couple. Even though her husband is fine now, Jason Momoa? What?
Yeah. No. But
I got.
What? And he played Aquaman in a new Justice League? Hell yeah. Fine as hell.
I got enough.
He has beautiful eyes. I'm a eye and teeth girl, so he has beautiful teeth and beautiful eyes, and he can get it.
And Grant Hill.
Yes, that's what I was going to say next. To me and Grant Hill.
Listen.
They're beautiful. They're a beautiful looking couple. And they've been married for over 20 plus years, I think.
Yeah, they've been married a minute, yeah.
Yeah. Who else? I like Omar. You know what?
Oh,
yeah,
my bad.
You know what? We're not going to do this.
Who did you say?
He said, for the listeners, if you didn't catch what he just said, and to Julie, he said Johnny Gill and Eddie Murphy.
We
can't be having this.
No.
Oh, my God.
That was in the back of my mind.
Okay.
I had to
tell you. I got to do a lot of editing. I know one thing, I got to do a lot of editing in the show. I know that.
Johnny Gill, we love you. We do want someone to come one day.
Oh, my God. They're going to get me in so much trouble. I got to edit all this out.
I'm turning off.
I want to say.
Hey, Q-Lin, is that why you wanted an extra 15 minutes so you could edit the show?
Yes, extra. Well, I was trying to get to the game or whatever. I was going to list some more of the couples. I lost my train of thought now. I had the couple in my head, and he just threw it. Another again, y'all think I'm, see, y'all try to say his calm and cool demeanor, EB, y'all got a little bit of that. I told y'all, he be throwing them zingers. Y'all got to catch him. Y'all think because I'm boastful and talk loud. I told y'all, he go there. I knew one day you was going to slip up on this show.
EB.
You know what? I might leave it in there just so they can, the listeners can be on my side for a change on the show.
EB.
Because they are always getting it. They're going to get you for that one.
EB, there was no mistake.
I'm trying to think of some more black couples. It was a good one. Oh, yeah. Omar Epps and Keisha Epps.
Yeah.
Great looking couple.
That is my favorite couple. When I tell you I have been in love with Keisha since day one in total.
She was always my favorite in total.
Listen, I follow her on Instagram. I stalk her on Instagram.
I love her post on Instagram.
Like, her family. I love her. I love Omar. I've been down with Omar since Juice. Y'all know on a couple weeks after in our favorite movies. Juice was one of my favorite movies. Like, I rock with
him. Who else? Boris Kojo and Nicole Ari Parker. I like them too.
Definitely.
They're pretty.
Definitely. I like them now. I didn't like them at first.
At first, I didn't like
them. Oh, really?
Them. I'm with you. I like them now.
Yeah. They're a cute little family. I like that.
I like Holly and Rodney Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yep. I'm trying to think of some more. That's it. That's all I could think of. Y'all got any more? Because that's it for me.
I'm waiting on Eric to be like, he likes, Campbell.
Oh, yeah, Tisha and Dwayne. Oh, yeah. I forgot
that's
about that.
That's your girl.
I love Tisha Campbell.
What else? Yeah. What? What are you trying to say?
I'm not. Listen. So, wait, so
ridiculous.
The first black mayor of New York, former Mayor David Dinkins and his wife Joyce. I'm going to mention them. Someone that actually mentioned them. And he still calls his wife his bride. Like, after all these years, like, that's still my bride.
Aww.
That's the kind of love I want. Look at Julie getting emotional.
I am.
I'll say Lawrence Fishburne and his wife. I forgot that she's an actress, too. They're a nice looking couple. I absolutely have a crush on Lawrence Fishburne. One of my friends outed me. I'm going to read the text that one day when we were talking about School Days, and I was talking about how I saw his winky on School Days. He said, he was like, he busted me out and said I had a crush. I do have a crush on Lawrence Fishburne. And he's still fine. He aged very well.
I'm going to let you have that. But I'm going to say Christian and John, too.
You'll think, but he's handsome. I like, he has a distinguished look. It's like really handsome. I don't know, it's a weird crush because I don't know why I like him, but he has a distinguished look to where he's good looking. And I think the beard gave him a plus 20 in the 90s.
Oh, Fury's out was on.
Snoop and his
Simone.
Wife.
LL.
Oh, yeah, Snoop. Oh, yeah, LL.
Snoop.
Yeah, I like them. Like,
yeah.
Snoop wife.
We need to talk about the people that need to be married so I can pick them, like Tyson Beckford. Oh, my God. We need to talk about the men that I wish was married.
They just legalized gay marriage. You rushing it. You got to give him
time. Tyson Beckford is so fine. Oh, my God.
You give him time to find his forever love.
Oh, my God. You just got me thinking about all my crushes now that I'm even married now. Oh, my God. I'm trying to
kill people. Idris' new girlfriend, I'm highly disappointed.
Who?
Idris is the new girlfriend.
Oh, really? She got new? Oh, yeah. Idris is eye candy, too. All day, every day. What does she look like?
I got a great. She look like a great value Karen Washington.
You know what? No, you know
somebody sounds like they want him. I saw the hostility when you said that.
y'all terrible. I'm gonna mention past guests of the show, Royale and April Watkins. Like,
absolutely, Black Love and Angel and Marcus, great black couple too. That chick ain't with TV.
Their web series, their podcast. What is it called? After I Do. I've been
following them it's their show.
Because I love their interaction as a married couple.
They're like so like blatant and to the point and transparent. Like he talk about, I want some head tonight. Like what? He be on video. Like, he don't say it that blatant, but he be allude to he wants sex. I'm like, he really doing this on air, or he'll just say we just had sex or something like that. I'm like, that is hilarious. I'm like, that is great to me that they're open and honest like that on camera.
I also like some of these NBA couples. I mean, LeBron and his wife, they have glowed up magnificently.
Oh, yeah.
But I like how Gabrielle Union and D-Wade interact. Like, they just get each other.
Oh, yeah. It's a cute couple.
Yeah.
We have to end the show now. We run out of time. We got like 5 minutes left.
Not yet. Okay.
Oh, you'll give us some more?
No.
What's up?
I might give you another 5 minutes because, see, I'm doing a replay of the Braxton's Back tonight. They're not on live tonight, so I can do the replay. You know, and they're generally going around 7:30 anyway, so I might just give you this extra time if you want it. It's up to you. As long as I get my question in. Can we also talk about some of the weirdest couples out here? And speaking of basketball...
Here we go.
I got one.
Come on with it.
What about Jackie and Doug Christie? Somebody help me. Help me.
I'm gonna let somebody else take that because I don't know much about them.
Oh man, I told y'all he was gonna come with one. That is a weird looking couple. I told y'all, Jackie is nasty as hell, so I don't know. They probably got off.
What in the hell?
Jackie probably get a reach around or something. Doug probably get her a reach around or something. They freaky as hell. I feel like she probably got him. Like, you know, the dominatrix, she's probably one of them people. Like, I can absolutely see her doing that because she is nasty. I told y'all she nasty on that show. Just the little episodes that I was watching, she's nasty. Like, I can see her doing, like, if somebody said Jackie Christie was a dominatrix, I would believe it. Like, if she had whips and chains in her bedroom, I would believe it.
She's nasty.
I just think Doug is weird looking because he ain't got no facial hair. That's what's weird about, like, he got the little patch underneath. Like, that is, like, no, get some facial hair, sir. No, we can't do this. He looked like them vampires, you remember Blade 2? Those little malnutrition looking vampires, that's what he looks like to me.
Wow.
He is not cute at all. He's not cute. And then Jackie Christie kind of looks strong in the face a little bit. They look a little odd looking couple, like you said. So I'm 100% with that because they are a weird looking couple. But yeah, they got some, I could tell they got some weird stuff going on in their relationship. I'm like, if it works for them, hey, what works for you, works for you. So
it's been working for them for a while.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If it worked for them, hey, all power to you. But yeah, they definitely weird. Cause Jackie, just the fact she talk about she dishes with pineapples, I'm like, girl, really? You said this on national TV? That's what you do? At home, you gonna tell the whole wide world that we needed to know this. Nobody needed to know that, Jackie. Just off GP, nobody needed to know that. You could have kept all the information to yourself. We didn't know that. It's unsanitary, like you said. When you said it, like, that's absolutely unsanitary. And then it turned into a conversation of what's, like, no, we don't even have this conversation on TV. Like, no, we don't dish for pineapples.
Oh, wow.
That's weird and nasty. Gross.
One of my favorite Instagram comedians, Christy Show, when she was Charlene, that sounds like a yeast infection. Like,
yeah, exactly. None of this sounds sanitary, and I wouldn't advise taking sexual advice from Jackie either. Very weird.
Yeah, but damn, Doug, he's still with her.
He likes something about it. I don't know what
it is. Something. That's some weird shit
going
on.
It is some weird stuff going on.
And you know, and she's always instigating stuff, right? And they get upset because people get upset because she's a star of shit.
Let's talk about weird couples. Is there a finale on Tony Braxton and Birdman? Because that's a weird couple. That's like almost tarnishing his legacy.
I forgot they were a thing. Actually, yeah.
That was a joke.
You can't be.
I didn't take it seriously.
I absolutely did too, but no. Like it was one episode I was watching at breakfast, and she was actually smitten with Brian Birdman Williams. I'm like, what is going on in this show? We can't have this for the legacy.
She broke.
You are my favorite singer. We can't be having this.
She's broke.
That's so random. Like, because Kerry Lewis was fine. Like, for Mint Condition,
right?
He was fine. So, how you go from Kerry to a black bat? I don't know. Because that's what he looks like.
Can I just tell y'all, I went to see Stokely in concert here in Houston, and that brother still has it, and he killed. He was the opener, but really he was the show. And I love
who
that.
You say?
Stokely. You said Mint Condition, so that just took me there.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna play the game real quick before we run out of time. I know, I hope.